Privilege that we have once again to gather together to look upon you and to contemplate your essence. Father, even as we behold, we trust that we'll be changed according to your word. And every one of us here will gain strength to become true witnesses and saviors in this dark world. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. We want to look at the subject of the rise of saviors. There's a necessity for urgency. Our world is plunging into darkness, but unfortunately, many are not aware. You see, the scriptures opened up declaring who God is without introducing Him. The Bible said, in the beginning, God. It's a sign that for life to count, for you to have meaning in time, your reference must be traced to the one that sits on the throne eternal. That is why the scriptures opens up by declaring his reality. He didn't bother introducing him because everything that is created or that is going to create eventually will draw reference from him. That means breath on your nostrils will be a waste unless you have known his dimensions and you have begun to interact with him. If you have not known him or interacted with him, everything you do in time is a waste. Biologically, it may be called life. But when you are judged from the realms of spirit reality, you didn't live in time. Because the only thing that gives time value is the fact that it was what? Traced to the one who is called God. And when we begin to contemplate the subject like the one we want to look at tonight, there are three dimensions of God that we will definitely have to understand and interact with. Meanwhile, there are multifaceted dimensions to his reality. The first time he was introduced, he was called the Elohim. And the word Elohim simply refers to his almightiness. Essentially, Elohim means the plurality of unity. So God is revealed as a mystical reality. He is three, but he exists in one. So plurality, having the ability to exist in perfect unity and oneness, was the first dimension of God that was revealed. So every time you contemplate him, you will know that you are coming in contact with one who is a mystery. And beyond that, this dimension of God that was captured in the name Elohim also revealed the fact that he is almighty. And that is why, as Elohim, he created the universe. There are many other dimensions of God that are captured in his reality. Those ones do not pertain to creation, because those ones will not necessarily have to do with might. There is a dimension of God that deals with judgment. That one will have no part to play with creation. The one that has anything at all to do with creation is the one that has to do with his almightiness. When you want to look at matters of sin and judgment, God will no longer be introduced as Elohim. He will be introduced as Jehovah. If you want to look at matters of provision, he will no longer be introduced as Jehovah. He will be introduced as El Shaddai. That means everything you call reality in time has its reference and foundation in God. So if you want to begin to judge the value of your life correctly, you must understand the dimensions of God that has to do particularly with you. Because you can just relate with him as God, an invincible essence and being that is in the spirit realm. And you will not know that his existence has a direct implication on your existence. So you will afford to live your life as you please. You will afford to live your life carelessly. You have not understood time. You have not understood life. And you have not understood meaning. Everything that plays out in time has a different dimension of God that impacts on it directly. Creation has Elohim impacting on it directly. Righteousness has Jehovah impacting on it directly. Provision has El Shaddai impacting on it directly. Covering and protection has Nisi, Jehovah Nisi, impacting on it directly. So your life is not existence unless there is a dimension of God directly impacting on you. You may live here for 90 years, and when you depart from time, then you will appear in heaven. They will tell you you didn't live on earth. Because there is no dimension of God that can be traced to you. There is no dimension of God that your life gave expression to. The reason Jesus was relevant is that when he came into the world, the Bible said God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Jesus was able to represent all of the dimensions of God in bodily form. That is why there is none that existed like him. And that is why the life of Jesus became the most significant life that ever walked through time. Because it was in Jesus that the fullness of the Godhead was expressed in bodily form. For you to count in time, there is a dimension of God that must be heavy upon your everyday decision-making process. There is a dimension of God that must be heavy on your thought pattern. There is a dimension of God that must be heavy on your lifestyle. And if you don't know these three dimensions I want to reveal tonight, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a savior in time. It's going to be possible for you to exist as a human being, but in heaven you will not be numbered as one of the saviors. You know, the Bible said in Obadiah chapter 1 verse 21, it says, saviors shall arise from Mount Zion. It's not everybody in Mount Zion that will arise. It is saviors that will arise from Mount Zion. But the people that will be called savior, there is a dimension of God that they have seen. You know, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Have you read that scripture in Luke 18 verse 1? You know what that scripture means? It doesn't mean you should pray. What it means is that if you are not praying, you are not a man. He said what? Men ought. So if you are a man, one of the ways that heaven recognizes that you are a man on earth is that what? You are raising incense. So, peradventure, you are not praying and your incense does not appear in heaven. You are not a man. You can be an amoeba. Biology can call you a man, but according to the scales of the divine, you are not a man. You know, when an immortal personality begins to utter his voice, it's important for you to wait carefully and to contemplate his ways, to understand the depth from where he's talking from. See, this is why you persuade a lot of people to pray. They don't understand that their meaning and cardinal essence is defined by the things that Jesus utters. He said men ought always to pray. So if you are not praying here, you may be called any other thing, but heaven may not call you man. He said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Meanwhile, you are living by the philosophies of your grandfathers. You are living by the philosophies of Hollywood and Nollywood. The way your dress code, your talk, everything was informed by Nollywood. But Jesus said, if you are a man, what are you supposed to feed on? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is when you are qualified to eat bread. So if you are eating bread alone, it's possible that you are not a man. There are three dimensions of God that you must know if you will walk through time and be relevant. One is God as Father. Two is God as King. Three is God as judge. If you don't know him as Father, you will live a life of lack and penury. If you don't know him as King, you will live a life of lawlessness. If you don't know him as King, you will live a life without government. And if you don't know him as judge, you will not be relevant in eternity. Because everything in time will be reckoned in eternity. See, these three dimensions of God, you will interact with it differently. When God is interacting with you as Father, it will look as if there is no law that governs creation. Don't be deceived. You can come to Father every morning and ask for bread, he will give you bread. You can come to Father 1,000 times, you will sin, you will be forgiven. You can come to Father as a prodigal son. While you are yet coming, he will run to embrace you. It's one dimension out of many. By the time King appears, he will judge you based on the ranking system of heaven. The Father can collect the prodigal son, but when the King meets the prodigal son, he will tell him the heir, so long as he's a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. Therefore, he places him under tutors and governors until the time appointed. Listen, if you don't know God in different dimensions, you will waste your life. You have been taught prosperity and life from the position of receiving from God. Go and check Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of fame. You will discover nobody was rated because of what he received from God. Everybody was rated because of what he did for God. That God they were interacting with is not Father. That God they were interacting with is not King. that God is a judge. So he ranked them based on the quality of service they rendered in the kingdom. Because the judge is not unjust to forget your labor of love. The judge told Abraham, he said, your children will be in captivity for 400 years. He said, but I will raise for them a deliverer. 400 years passed. He was not moved. Because there is a credential that the deliverer must have. And if there's nobody with that credential, they will be in captivity for 1,000,000 years. And he will not be moved. Because that is a judge. He walks by righteousness. He walks by judgment. He walks by equity. He took Moses extra 30 years to qualify as a deliverer. That was when the judge rose. Most of us only know God as Father. That's why we can afford to sin every day and come back and say sorry. When eternity appears, you will not see Father. You will see a white robe. Tonight, I want to show you God the Father, God the King, and God the Judge. If you can see him, then you will become. You know, the Bible said, it does not yet appear what we shall be like. It said, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. I want to show you something that will make you know that you don't have the luxury of sin, even though there is forgiveness. I want to show you something tonight to let you know that you don't even have the luxury of irresponsibility, even though it's your life, as you say it. I want to let you know that life does not end in time. God is Father. God is King. God is Judge. God created the man Adam and he put him in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, everything the man wanted and could imagine, God provided it. In fact, when God finished creation, it was God that contemplated and said, you know, after he created Adam, he went and sat down and he was thinking, what is it that this man will ever want or can ever need or will ever require that has not yet been provided? And when the divine brainstormed for a long time, he now concluded and said, it is not good for the man to be alone. He created Eden. The word Eden means an open heaven, a place where you have access into the presence. Eden is a place where man was given the benevolence of walking in and out of the presence of God. Meanwhile, the presence of God is the most prized commodity in the whole of the universe. He had it in abundance, and God planted a garden in Eden, and he put the man in the garden. Everything the man ever would require for life, he provided it, because the one I was interacting with him was Father. The word Father is the word fundus. Fundus means foundation. That means your stability in life is not in yourself. When you see somebody struggling in the flesh trying to succeed, he has not known the Father. The word Father in Hebrew means fundus. That means he is your foundation. He is your confidence. He is your absolute assurance. In the Greek, the word Father means is pater, and pater means sustainer and nourisher. So he appeared to Adam as Father. He provided Eden. Everything he needed was in Eden. God didn't stop there. Every day, as he came into the garden in the cool of the day to interact with Adam, he was trying to check, is there anything this guy will need? Is there anything this guy will lack? Is there anything this guy will want? And when he discovered, he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make for him a suitable helper. So God went again, casted a deep sleep on the man, removed his rib, and created Eve for the man. That is Father. The Father is always restless until every need of the child is provided. Because if the child has a legitimate need that is not yet provided, then God has denied himself as Father. The reason God will not rest every time you ask, he will give to you, is because he's Father. If he refuses to give to you, he has denied himself. He said, ask of me. Ask of me. Ask of me. Many times in scripture, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. That's the Father. In John 16:24, he said, until now you have asked for nothing. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be complete. That is Father talking. But unfortunately, some people only knew him as Father. So Adam woke up in the morning. Everything he needed was surrounding him. He woke up from sleep and suddenly he saw Eve. He said, this is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
One thing you will not see in that scripture is that on the strength of fatherhood, God allowed him access into the archive of heaven. So Adam could open the vault of heaven and look upon secret things that God did for himself. The Bible said the secret things belongeth unto God, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. But Adam had access into secret things, because when God sat down contemplating the creation of Eve, he never consulted Adam. But when Adam woke up, he knew that the name was woman, the same name God called him. The same way in Genesis 2:19, he went into the garden and every name that God gave all the animals before the foundations of the world, Adam was calling them, because he had access into the registers of heaven. That is father, benevolence. But he only knew father. He didn't know that when God told him, of all the fruit is in the garden, you may eat of them freely, but the fruit that is in the middle of the garden, which is the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not eat it. The day you eat it, you will die. He thought the one talking to him was father. He didn't know that was George. That's why the Holy Ghost comes to you. He said, wake up fast. You woke up. You wanted to eat. You felt bad. But after 30 minutes, you say, oh boy. Oh boy. It's the living that serve the Lord. And then you go and eat. Your conscience trouble you. After 5 minutes, you kill your conscience. What you don't know is that it is your future you are eating. Because the judge cannot deny himself. The day of your showing forth will be elongated. Abraham woke up, he said, what? This is the bone of my bone. The guy could enter into heaven at will while he was in Eden. He will open the registers of heaven. He can look at you in Eden and say, guy, you will be born in the year 2000. He knows it because you were penned down in the chronicles of heaven. Adam could look into the past, into the future. He had access into such dimension because he was dealing with what? With father. But he didn't know that God was not only father, God was judge. So when the devil came, swiftly the devil mingled his way in and began to ask questions. You know, at Eden, Adam had more information than Lucifer. Adam had access to more depths than Satan. You know, Satan was operating at such level of privilege when he was in heaven. The Bible called him the anointed cherub that moved to and fro in the midst of the coals of fire. So he had access. He walked in close proximity to God. The angels that walk in the midst of the coals of fire are the seraphims. And the reason is because they do business with holiness. So every time as they walk in the coals of fire, they are purified. That was why when God gave Isaiah the privilege to come to the heights of the heavens in order to gain stature in the prophetic ministry, he appeared before the coals of fire and he said, I am a man of unclean lips. That's a prophet. On earth, he's a prophet, but when he entered heaven, he was what? A man of unclean lips, because he saw the coals of fire. One of the seraphims had to touch his tongue with the coals of fire. That was the game that Lucifer was involving in when he was in heaven. The Bible said, you are the anointed cherub that covereth. That means he was both a seraphim and a cherubim. While he was in heaven, he had access to information. But now he's falling. When he was falling, he didn't have access to revelation and insight into the realm of God anymore. So he had to come and inquire from Eve. Did God say you should not eat of all the fruit that are in the garden? The guy is falling. And the reason he fell was because himself didn't know God as judge. He was walking with God, playing in heaven. He thought it was all about fun. When he violated the laws of righteousness, the judge appeared. He said, oh, Lucifer, how art thou fallen? You thought in your heart. You thought. The judge was able to traffic into his heart. He didn't even utter it with his mouth. But where he was walking was in the midst of the coals of fire. That's a ground of blazing holiness. You have no right to think iniquity. So when he thought in his heart, God picked it and said, oh, how art thou fallen? So the guy fell from wisdom, he fell from revelation, he fell from access. Adam was walking now in the height where Lucifer fell from, but he didn't know that Lucifer fell because he didn't know God as judge. So when God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he collected from his wife and ate. And him too, what happened? He was falling. The man that was walking in so much wisdom now went and gathered leaves to cover his nakedness. The leaves that you put in the morning and will dry in the afternoon. For the first time, God corrected Adam. Before that time, God never corrected him. Everything he did was 100%.
Every animal that Adam named, God came and said, that is the name thereof. But now Adam covered himself with fig leaf. God came and said, no. God killed an animal and used the skin to cover him. He was falling. But because his father is not enough, God went ahead and was looking at how he will redeem this man. Meanwhile, the man was not knowledgeable enough to come back to God. He went his own way, and his offspring began to create civilizations apart from God. He had no insight to come back to the Lord. But because God is father, it was God that still came to him. That's the heart of father. You saw that when the prodigal son was coming, it was the father that ran and hugged him and embraced him and gave him a ring and kissed him. If you only know God as father, you'll be set off in time. You will bargain your eternity in time. That was what happened to Judas Iscariot. Jesus said, you will sit with me on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Judas sold his own throne for 30 pieces of silver. A throne in eternity, he bargained it in time for 30 pieces of silver. Most of you, what you call pleasure, you are bargaining your destiny. That's what you don't know. That time you decided to fornicate, and you thought you would come back and ask, tell God, I'm sorry. What you didn't know is that you were supposed to be one of the three prophetess that God will raise in your generation. But what you have done is that you have made your soul to become numb. So what you should pray for 1 hour to have, now you will need to pray for 5 hours. Because you have exposed iniquity to your soul. So your soul can no longer ascend to the realm where it will naturally ascend to. But unfortunately, in your lifetime, you may never pray for 5 hours. So even though God will want to help you, he can't. This one, we call it brotherly talk. I'm not ministry yet. It's brotherly talk. I'm just drawing your attention to something. Adam fell. So God came to the garden as usual to relate with Adam. And they couldn't see Adam in the radar of heaven all of a sudden. So God came and said, Adam, where are thou? Where are you, Adam? God can't find Adam. Meanwhile, Adam was still in the garden. But what he didn't know is that he was not only in the garden, he had a throne in the spirit realm. So it was that throne he had in the spirit realm God was relating with. But what they were doing in the garden was in the natural. Their intimacy was in the spirit. All of a sudden, God couldn't find Adam. Adam was in the garden. God was looking for him. He was calling. But the heart of the father will not let God rest. So for many generations, God was looking for how to save this man. The father wanted to save the man, but the judge cannot bend the laws of righteousness. So it's impossible for the man to be saved. God sent many prophets. It couldn't work. No wisdom could suffice. The only thing that could suffice was for God himself to take upon himself the likeness of a man so that he can rescue man. Such level of love has never been seen. It's just like they say in the mosquito kingdom, the mosquitoes are doomed for destruction. Then you now will have to become a mosquito to go into the mosquito kingdom and save them. And when you became a mosquito, then mosquitoes teamed up against you. Mosquito, say they will deal with you. They will deal with you. A mosquito. No, please. As big as this my brother is now, then mosquitoes now gather, say they will kill you. You know the problem now is that you know who you were as a man. And you know that based on who you are, 1,000 mosquitoes, all you need to do is to do like this. All of them will die. Now, suddenly, you lose all your ability. You become as weak as a mosquito. And then mosquitoes can actually kill you. Can you imagine what it looks like? Or maybe you become a pig in order to save the pig kingdom. You know that naturally, the stench from where pigs stay alone, you can't even stand it. But now you are compelled, you need to take your bath in the mud. You can't help it because now you have the nature of pig. While you are in the mud, because you are hot, and the only way you can get some ventilation is to go into the mud. While you are in the mud, you still know in your head that This is not what you do naturally. But you have to endure the mud. For 30 years, you are rubbing in the mud. And then now you are hungry, you want to eat. And then you stroll past the house, you see them cooking. You know this is what you should eat on. But now you eat on decayed substances. Because according to the nature of pig, that's what you have to eat. But your brain tells you that this is not food. But you still endured it. Such was the kind of humiliation that God subjected himself to in order to reach out to man. It's called the heart of a father. Because in a fallen state, the man became useless. The man became condemned. The man fell from the class of God where he was created. So God had to condescend to the level of the man to bring him up. And he went that far because he had the heart of the Father. And now that he has saved you, he now gives you the assignment to save your world. So the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. That person is no longer a man. He is now a God kind of man. He is a new creation. He said, all things, the fallen realities are passed away. He said, but behold, that man needs to become aware that all things have become new. This is why we preach the gospel. To let you know that you are no longer the fallen man. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 13, John writing to the believers, he said, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you now have eternal life. Many don't know they have eternal life. So even though they have been brought back to the class of God, they are still living like fallen creatures. Every time you indulge in sin is a lower level of life. Every time you indulge in the ways of the world is a lower level of life. The Father has done his best by bringing Jesus. The only way you can gain value now is to accept what Jesus has done and live accordingly. But many believers are still living in the world, even though they have been saved. This is what God did when he wrought salvation in Egypt. He raised Moses for 40 years, sent Moses by many signs and wonders. Moses saved the Israelites from Egypt, carrying them to the promised land, but their heart was still Egypt. They wanted to return to Egypt. Every time you go back to the world, what you are doing is that you are disdaining the sacrifice of Jesus. You may not even understand what you are doing. And if you disdain the sacrifice of Jesus, the judge will show up. Because everything Jesus did was what? The expression of the heart of the Father. Now that Jesus has done everything to express the heart of the Father, your response is what will determine your relationship with the judge. This is why it is what you do with what you are given by grace that will determine who you will be in eternity. Because the judge will no longer judge you because of your fallen nature. He will now judge you with what you did with grace. Because your fallen nature, every vengeance of God have been poured on Jesus on the cross. Now that Jesus has given you his own life, what do you do with it? This is where Christianity ceases from being a religion. Many of us think it's about coming to church. So we dress well to come to church. We dance, we sing, we cry. It's beyond it. One of the reasons we were saved is so that we can save others. So he said God was in Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:18, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he has given them the word of reconciliation. That is where saviors come from. The moment you are justified, you are given the license to bring salvation to others. But the question is, we call ourselves Christians and believers. Most of us have been in this camp for 12, 13 or 14 days, but your life has not impacted anybody. That means you don't know the reason for salvation. So the Father will look upon you and say, is this one aware why he saved? Every day all of us go out is about who has the best polo, who has the best shopmaker. We form with our canvas and our socks. You will leave here after some years, you will not remember what this camp looks like. You will not even remember. But everything you did in this camp for God will rise like an eternal memorial. For eternity, it will be a statement in heaven. I served in 2012. When we were going to the camp, we wanted to kill ourselves. We snapped all the pictures put online. The first 2 days in camp, the moment you wear your 7/7, Everybody must see it on Facebook. Now you won't even, I don't remember whether those things are still on Facebook. But the things you did in camp in the name of the Lord, even if you forget it, there will be a testament in heaven. The same way the blood of Abel cried from the ground. The Father has demonstrated the highest love by giving Jesus for you. Now he wants you to become reasonable by living your life for Jesus. If you only know the Father, you will live always asking God for bread and for wine. This is where many Christians are, and that is why the kingdom is not advancing. Everybody who is an Islamic person on this campus, they don't violate the time of their prayer. They don't need to be NCCF or Catholic or whatever. When the time of prayer comes, everybody leaves everything they are doing, even if it's in the sun. The same crested vest you wear and all you are doing is pictures for Facebook, they will kneel down in the heat of the sun and they are worshiping. Because they understand kingdom. We don't understand kingdom. The Bible said in Obadiah 1:21, it says, Savior shall arise from Mount Zion first to judge the mountains of Esau. Secondly, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. So when you are justified, the Bible said he gives unto you the ministry of reconciliation. Why? To judge. The word judge there is not the word to condemn. The word judge is to show them the way of life. The word judge there is to reveal to them the standard of living. So when they look at you, they should know what life is about. But unfortunately, you look more like the world than they who are in the world. The Bible said concerning Jesus, Philip came to him and said, show us the Father that we might see him. Jesus said, you mean you've been with me and you are asking me to show you the Father? He said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That is a kingdom agent. Your life must be lived such that everybody that interacts with you has seen Jesus. If you talk, is Jesus to hear. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I am the follower of Christ. So Paul may never mention Jesus, but if you interact with Paul, you will know that his life is not the life of a mortal man. There is a spirit living through him. And not too long, staying with Paul, you will receive Jesus. Stories were told of Mahatma Gandhi. He said he met the Christians, but the Christians did not look like their Jesus. So he can't be a Christian. He believed in everything Jesus said and stood for, but the believers did not look like Jesus. So he refused being a believer. Not because of Jesus, but because of the believers. And if Mahatma Gandhi was convinced by the Christians he met, India today would have been a hub of Christianity. The population of India today is almost 2 billion. India alone is bigger than Africa combined with South America. There are about 1.9 billion Christians in the world. No, 2.4 billion Christians in the world. Only India is 2 billion. China is 2.6 billion. Imagine if the two or three Christians Mahatma Gandhi met were able to show them Jesus. The work of India today would have already been achieved. So every time you meet the unbeliever, you don't even know who you are meeting. Some men are nations. Some of the men you are interacting with, they are nations. So God is sending nations to you. If you convict that man, you have won a nation to Jesus. Some of the men you meet are families. If you convict that man, you have won a family. Some of the men you meet are systems. They are companies. They are institutions. If you win that man, you have won an institution. You may not be aware. I was told that when Billy Graham gave his heart to Christ, he was the only person. But when Billy Graham died, Wikipedia recorded that he won more than 43 million people to Christ. So the person that won Billy Graham won 43 million people with him. This is the intelligence of kingdom that many are not aware. So we live for ourselves. And these matters are matters that have eternal implications. We can come to church and be emotional. I am a revivalist. I know what to say for the hall to scatter in 5 minutes. But many times, when I meet young people, I want to ask you a question. What is your life reflecting? Every day you go to church, what is your life reflecting? That's the one God will ask you of. I know you are a good singer. I know you are a good preacher. I know you are a good talker. I know you are an organizer. But what is your life reflecting? You are not aware that you have been committed the gospel of reconciliation. It's a ministry that the Lord has given to every one of us. But very few are maximizing it. We live for, some is for beer. We relax our, there's nothing wrong with excellence. But that's where the God of some people is. Their God is their beard. Some people, their God is their leg. That clothes must reach here. And then they wear high heel. They want everybody to see their leg. If you have not seen their leg, they will go home and clap. That tailor has not done her job unless the 10 people see them and say, wow. Ah! At that time, they have been worshipped. When you come and say, wow, your hair is so beautiful. Oh, really? You have made their day. No wonder Jesus says some have received their reward in time. Some have received their reward in time. Some people, their prayer and enterprise is to gain the applause of people so that they will say, oh boy, this guy in a prayer. They don't say he's a man of prayer. They say he's prayer. Ah! When you call him prayer, prayo, prayo. But the question is, what is happening to your environment and the people around you? How much of God have they become? That's what the judge is looking out for. Every time he flashes his light from heaven, he is checking the degree to which your life is impacting the people that he's sending to you. Those people coming to you and admiring you, you think they are your friends. They are not your friends. They are people God sent to you. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said, no one you have given to me is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So Jesus knew that everybody coming to him, whichever way they are coming, they were people God sent to them, to him. So he had a personal assignment to reveal God to them. The people coming to you, you call them friends. When Saul was looking for his father's missing asses, he met Samuel, and Samuel knew that he was a king. Why? The day before, God told him, the man that comes to you by this time tomorrow, anoint him as king. As far as Samuel was concerned, he had no business with Saul unless Saul became a king. That's when his own assignment is fulfilled. Some of the harlots that come to you, the club addicts, the liars that come to you, do you know why God sent them to you? You don't understand the business of the kingdom. When you know God as Father, then you migrate to the next level. It's good to know God as Father, because that's why you have confidence to ask him for everything you will need. And in this life, you will need many things. I assure you, you will need many things, legitimate things to advance the kingdom, including money. And you will need to ask the Father for it, and he will give you. But when you have known him as Father, you need to migrate to know him as King. When you know him as King, everything he gives to you is for advancing his kingdom. That's why Nicodemus came to Jesus. Jesus told him, except a man be born again. That means a man will have to accept the provisions of God. Then he will come into the kingdom. So the reason a man is born again is not just to receive what God has to offer. He said when a man is born again, he begins to perceive the kingdom. It's another layer of growth. He needs to see God as Father. Except a man is born again, he cannot receive the kingdom. That means when a man sees the Father, he must have to see the King. That's what Jesus was telling him. So the disciples that were with Jesus didn't tell them about born again. Jesus told them, the day they caught the revelation from the Father, he said, thou art Petros. Upon this Petra, I will build my ecclesia. So when you have come into the kingdom, God wants to build with you. The revelations you receive, the gifts that you have, the access that you have, they become tools in the hands of God. For Peter, he picked a revelation from heaven. And God said, on this revelation, I will build my ecclesia. And what was the first thing? He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you know the Father supplies. When you know the King, you defend the kingdom with him. You become a tool in the hand of God. The gates of hell. This place you came to, you call this a camp. You don't know the princes in darkness that are here. There is a law of immorality in this ground. Many virgins who came here, they will either be disflowered on this camp. You will ask yourself, where are the hotels? You have not been on ground for long. Ask those on ground, they will tell you. If they are not disflowered here, 2 weeks after camp, I assure you, many will be disflowered. Why? They came to a territory of a prince in darkness. darkness. They are not aware. They are not aware that this world has been fabricated and divided to princes in darkness. Where you call your house, where you call your village, there is a warlord in darkness that lays claim on that land. So every time you come into a territory, if you have known the king, then you become a battle axe. At this time now, your life is beyond you. You are fighting for the kingdom. This is why NCCF is here. This is why you are bringing people to come here. It's not because you have money to spend. You have understood that this place is a nursery. The same way the devil is recruiting, God is recruiting. Because this is where kingdom agents are built from. It's a ground of training. The devil comes to select his manpower. God is also here to select his manpower. You may come to this ground, your gift will become your cause. If you don't know kingdom, you came here as a beautiful person. You thought beauty is a gift. If you don't know God, beauty will become your undoing. The reason why your attention, you will become popular in the realm of the spirit, and all the spirits will want you, is because they now saw that, because you are beautiful, all the boys are attracted to you, so they put their searchlight on you. At that time, your beauty has become a curse. Because they see that if they get you, they can get 30 boys. The devil doesn't waste resources. He came, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sit you like meat. He said, but I have prayed that your faith faileth not. When thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. Why did the devil go for Peter? If Peter fall, all the disciples will fall. He went for Judas. Judas fell, nobody noticed. He came for Peter. If Peter falls, everybody falls. So Jesus said, when thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. There are some ladies here that if they fall, nobody will notice. But there are certain ladies here that if they fall, they can drag 30% of all the boys that came to this place. And I assure you, if they get 10 boys, 7 will be prophets. You know why? The prophetic guys, their antenna is sharper. You know, people don't understand intelligence in darkness. When things happen around them, they think it's normal. They think it's coincidence. There are no coincidences in life. Everything is carefully orchestrated from the realm of the spirit. This is why my temptation is different from your temptation. You may be handsome. The devil comes on you with a searchlight of immoral power because he knows that you can bring down 20 girls in a day. I might go for 30 girls. Only one will accept me. Meanwhile, you are there. 30 girls are calling you. The devil will not waste the moral power on me. He will use it with you because you are a more profitable agent. It's the politics of the realm. So Jesus said, upon this gift, upon this revelation, upon this strategy, I will build my church. That's the same way the devil builds his church. The word church is ecclesia. It means representation. It means a witness that bears the burden of the king. The same way we represent God as a system. The devil have men that represent him as a system. So when we come here, we need to be aware that we are in the ground of warfare. Most of you that are here, if you don't wake up, this camp will define the philosophy of your life. Some of the things that may happen to you here, you will never undo it again for a lifetime. So the first thing God will do to you is that he will open your understanding so that we understand the scriptures. You will know the voice of God because you have come out from among the people. God wants to deal with you and interact with you now as an individual. Suddenly, you will notice that you begin to receive whispers from your heart. And God used many ways to bring men into truth. Some people, he will use light. The scriptures will open up to you. So you just know, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So I cannot think evil. You have heard that scripture before, but now God has quickened it. And because it is quickened, you can no longer think evil. I have the mind of Christ. For somebody else, God will tell him, fast for 21 days on this camp. It's the same thing he wants to achieve, but different routes. For somebody else, he will tell him, run 3 hours prayer schedule every evening. There are many people with strange instructions currently going on in this camp. You are the only one that wake up in the morning and you are jogging to the field because you think it's about March past. You think it's about platoon. That's the least activity here. The activity of the spirit here is 10 times more than the one you are doing in the field. What you are doing in the field is the least activity. If you wake up in the morning and see the demons paraded waiting for you to come to the field, you will shout. You will shout. Some bombarding you in your sleep. Before you go to the field, they have positioned the guy where you will stand, where you will stand. You went to the camp, the market before coming to the camp. You saw one white cardigan. You now thought this cardigan is fine. You don't know the priests that have manipulated things. They have set up a time bomb in camp waiting for you to come. But when we become wise, we know that upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, he said, giving no place to the devil. Have you given place to the devil already while you are in camp? It's time to shut the door. Because your destiny is at stake. And it's not just your destiny, the destiny of many, many more people. Most of you, before you came for camping, you started having encounters and visions. Because oftentimes, when God wants to raise saviors, He begins to give them encounters, visions. Some of you began to have knowings. You will be great, you will be great, you will be great. You just think that something will still change around your life. That's heaven bringing you invitation. It was the same thing God did for Joseph. The young man woke up all of a sudden, Genesis 37 verse 5, and he had a dream. He said he saw him and his brothers gathering sheaves, and suddenly his own stood straight, and all of his brother's sheaves bowed down to his. And the brothers said, what do you mean? You mean we are going to serve you? And they began to plot to kill him. But he only had a dream because he's a savior. The first definition of a savior are the encounters that he has. Encounters begin to come to you. It was Moses that went to the backside of the wilderness in Horeb, and suddenly he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. When you begin to have such encounters, know that your season has come. But when your season comes, also know that demons will rise against you from Hades. Demons will rise. Demons will rise. As if it was not enough, he went back, slept, and came back the next day again. And he saw another dream. This time, 12 stars. And the sun and the moon came to bow to him. And because he told his brothers, they rebuked him. He now went to tell his father. The father now rebuked him the more. You mean me, your mother, and your brothers will bow to you? I didn't show myself this vision. It was shown to me. Yes, that's why the devil will rise. Because the devil knows that the reason God is showing you vision is because heaven is already arranging the politics in your favor. So they will fight to make sure you don't enter. It was on the strength of that vision that the brothers hated him. And when the father sent him to check out on them, they said they will sell him. They wanted to kill him. Their heart didn't let them, so they sold him out. Why was it Potiphar that he ended up with? Everything he called a trial was a pathway of progress. Most of you, after you have your encounters and trials begin to come, don't resist it. They will post you to a place you don't like. After you did all the politics, you were even working in the computer room, so you wanted to post yourself to Aso Rock. Aso Rock. When you now finish, they now posted you to where the Kuje? You Abaji. They posted you to Abaji. You now say it's a lie. I will not. Calm down. God is sending you to the school of the spirit. You did all the manipulation. You said no matter what, I'll be Ministry of Finance. I studied economics. When you now finish, they posted you to a primary school in Dutse Alaji. You want that? Why did I come to Abuja? I should have even studied Nasarawa State. This is where your ground of training is. When Moses saw his vision, he attracted persecution. When Joseph saw his vision, it attracted persecution. He went to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, he went to prison. You will think that his own has finished. He was there for 14 years. But he knew that what was happening, the hand of God was involved. So when Potiphar's wife wanted him to sleep with him, he said, how can I do this evil against God? The guy knew that God was mindful of him. So what he went through was not a challenge. He knew it was a journey of progress. And from prison, the day of his showing forth came, that day he was prepared. May you not be taken unawares in the day of your manifestation. Because you violated process. The greatest things you will learn are not in the classroom. They are in the field of trials. It is in the womb of trials that the biggest lessons of life are learned. That's why God said you will walk through the waters, you will not be drowned. He didn't say I will save you. He said, you walk through the fire, you will not be born.
That time, you are not dealing with a father, you are dealing with a king. So he's allowing you to be exposed to the laws of righteousness. It was when Joseph was to be released that we knew that it was God manipulating his destiny. The Bible said, he sent a man before them. Psalm 105, verse 17.
Is that how you send men? So you want to send me, you will send me to prison.
It is an intelligence of the king. He knows what to do to you for the loss of righteousness to straighten you. Some of you will be in the palace. Some of you will be in the wilderness. Whichever pathway God chooses for you, don't fight it. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, whom they sold for the servant. He said his feet was bound with fetters until the time that his word came. He said the word of the Lord tried him. After he was tried and he was proven faithful, he said the king sent for him, even the ruler of the people. Suddenly his ranking changed. He made him, made him ruler of his house and lord of his substance, to teach his senators wisdom and to bind his princes at his pleasure. How can a prisoner learn how to teach senators wisdom? When he was going through that pathway, the king was showing him how to navigate in the corridors of authority. You will not know authority until God carry you through wilderness and the ground of slavery. That time you can now feel the heart of people. That's when you become a wise man. When his brothers came, they were fidgeting in Genesis 45 from verse 5 to 12. He told them not to worry. He said, God sent me ahead so that I can preserve you. He knew that the reason God sent him ahead was to preserve the covenant of Abraham. It was him that will preserve Israel, not Israel preserving him. How did he gain such wisdom? He had interacted with the God of faithfulness. While he was in the pit where there is no water, God became his water. While he walked through the darkness, God became his light, because the king was teaching him. There's a syllabus the king will use to teach you. That's when your pride will crack. If you only walk through the ground of stardom, everybody hailing you, you will say, I'm a humble man, because you came to collect the microphone, you did like this. You are a joker. What you don't know is that your action is the least part of you that has volume in the spirit realm. Your thought is louder than your voice. You collected the mic, you did like this. They are laughing. When God wants to chisel your pride, he will carry you through trials. Some of them will attract so much disgrace that even when you want to use your pride, you will look for it, you won't find it. Arrogant, you think it's about beauty. Meanwhile, the person God wants to marry, wants you to marry. As beautiful as you are, it's your arrogance that will make you not to end up there. And God will stop at nothing until you marry this person, because there is a destiny that only two of you can bring to pass. So God will break it. And most times he uses circumstances. Terrible circumstances that nobody can save you from. You will call your uncle suddenly. Ah, I knew a friend. When we were serving those days, far back as 2012. They were waiting for this guy to pass out. There was a position waiting for him in Arik Airline. The guy is a big boy. These are the type of people that they don't even, when they pay Alawi, they say, okay, they don't pay. All right. He never touches Alawi. When you pass yourself, you don't know. I'm waiting. You know, there are two sets of people that intimidate people in NYC. The first set are doctors. Hospital management board pays them huge amount of money. That's one. Secondly, while they are serving, when you want to do any test, they will tell you to go to a particular lab. It's a lie. There's nothing special about that lab. They have an arrangement with the lab scientists. I serve with them. Every Saturday, the lab scientists will bring 30% of everybody they refer. So they never touch the alawi. They never even touch the money from hospital management board. That money they make from referring people to labs is enough to sustain them. So when they are leaving NYC, they are big boys. The second set of people are sons and daughters of politicians. They want to oppress you and show you they have something. This boy was in one of those categories. 2 weeks to passing out, his father died. The Bible says, woe unto the man that put his trust in the arm of flesh. He has not seen the king. He doesn't know the manipulation in the realm of the spirit. He doesn't know how princes in darkness can turn the tide against a man. So he didn't learn the way of prayer. He didn't learn the way of intercession. He didn't learn the way of giving. 2 weeks he was waiting to resume in Arik. The father died.
All of a sudden, all his uncles stopped picking his calls. His father's friend that will send him money unannounced in camp, now he's calling them. Nobody was picking calls anymore. The guy now came back to our level. So we sat down, we began to show him the word of the Lord. But he learned it late. You know that guy now, he will go out and learn what we learned many years ago. He will now learn it after 5 years. What has happened is that he has prolonged the time of his destiny. There are many ways he will be taught. Circumstances is one of the schools of the spirit. You see, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That was when he became a ranking personality. He now knew God as king. So he stayed under government. Most of you here don't know God as king. That's why you think your gift is for a show. Your gift is not for a show. God doesn't waste resources. Your gift is for advancing the frontiers of the kingdom. And it will be a shame for you to come to this camp and leave this camp without extending the kingdom in the life of at least one person. I'm not talking about corporate fellowship level. I'm talking about you as a kingdom agent. If you don't do that, it means you know God as Father. And if you know God as Father, I tell you, you may receive everything in this kingdom, or you will never be great. Because the things that make a man great in this kingdom are the quality of service that he renders, because he comes under the government of God. There are many people living their lives without government. They wake up when they want, they do what they want, they spend their money the way they want it. You are not walking the path of greatness. Nobody that lives the way he wants can ever amount to anything with God. And when we talk greatness in this kingdom, we are not just talking about being wealthy. We are talking about being rich with God. And the only way you can be rich with God is through obedience to him. You have known him as a king. Have you not seen many people that only receive from their father, but every instruction their fathers give them, they never do it? They are like rebellious children. We must come under government. There is something the Holy Ghost is trafficking through your heart every day while you are on this camp. Every day, there is something is trafficking through your heart. You have never done any of them. You will pass through this camp, or you will not be relevant with God. I came to let you know, first, that there are spirits on this camp that have already written what you will do in the next 1 year. They have written it already. When you were coming from your house, they saw your vehicle coming. As you entered this camp, they saw it. They have already written your script. And they have determined what you will do in Abuja for the next 1 year. But may you never play the script of demonic spirits. The only way you can do it is to bring yourself back under the government of God. It may be tough, it may not be flexible, but at the end of the day, it will count. You will not only be relevant in time, you will also be relevant in eternity. Because in eternity, God, the judge, comes to certify everything you have done with what God the Father and God the King gave you. God the judge will not allow you to become anything in eternity unless you conform in alignment to the things that God the Father determined you to do with what he gave you, and what God the King determined you to do with the laws that he brings to your soul. Tonight, I want to invite us to prayer. I know you have lived the way you want up until now. I know you even made a girlfriend. It's possible. I know that you have a plan already with somebody for both of you to serve in Gwarimpa or in Game Village, I'm aware. But I want us to pray tonight and tell the Lord, I have appreciated you as Father, but tonight I want you to be king and judge over my life. By implication, as king, it means I don't want to live my life unto myself. I don't want to live my life for pleasure and for my appetite. The Bible said, him that liveth for pleasure is dead while he walketh. You know what it means? You are not relevant to God. So as far as he's concerned, you are no longer on earth. When God is checking, he will not look for you. That's why God can enter a city. He finds only one man. God will enter a territory. He's looking for men. He finds two people. He's seen the other people, but they are not there. He came to the garden the moment Adam disaligned. He said, Adam, Adam, where are thou? So you can be on this camp. God will look for, but he will find only three men. may you be counted and may you be numbered in Zion. So that when God comes, you will not be so difficult to find on his radar. When he comes and is looking for men, may you collide with him. See, there are certain men that God doesn't look for them. When God shows up, they find God. Abraham was a watcher in Mamre. When God descended, he saw three men. He knew that they were not mortal men. He said, "Sirs, come." They were in a hurry. They were going to Sodom. He said, "Come." They came. He prepared food. He said, "Let him make food." They refused. He insisted. And when he made food and they ate and they wanted to go, God turned and said, "Your wife Sarah will be with child in the next time of life." See, there are certain men that they have grown beyond being found of God. They can find God. "Your wife Sarah." But that was not what moved Abraham. Abraham found out, "Where are you going to?" And God said, "The iniquity of Sodom have ascended to heaven, and I'm going to destroy it." And suddenly, the legislator began to speak. He's a kingdom functionary. He said, "Far be it from you, that you, the righteous God, will destroy both the just and the unjust. What if you find 50 men in Sodom?" That's not a man. See, we are on earth, but some people are living from heaven. Jesus said, "The Son of Man is in heaven." He was walking the streets of Nazareth. What if you find 50 righteous men? As you are on this camp now, you don't know the reason some of you are even receiving ventilation from heaven. It's because there are some intercessors here that are telling and discussing with God what should happen here. Most of you are here just enjoying in Babylon. You don't know that there is a Shadrach, there's a Meshach, there's an Abednego, there's a Daniel that say they will never bow. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 that as his custom was, do you know how many years the guy was in Babylon? Daniel was in Babylon for 65 years. The Bible said as his custom was, three times in the day, the guy knelt down praying and facing Jerusalem. So long as Daniel is in Babylon, there is hope for Israel. What if you find 50 righteous men? And God said, "I will not destroy Sodom." God was going. He said, "Let the Lord of all heaven have mercy." What if you find 30 righteous men? You mean a discussion that was concluded in heaven. A man on earth can change it. These are kingdom functionaries. The devil can speak over your family. But while you walk with the El Shaddai and you travel, you beheld the laws of the spirit. And one day you rise up and you say, "No, in this family, let El Shaddai reign." This is how the men of old lived their life. Jacob was old. The Bible said they told his children, they said, "Gather around me and I will tell you the things that will befall you." He was not prophesying. He was not blessing them. He was using his words to shape their destiny. He said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes." He made Judah a king on earth and in heaven. Till tomorrow, even when Jesus came, he was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who made Jesus Judah was Jacob. On earth, men are shaping the civilizations of heaven. Men could write the destinies of others because of where they went to with God. These guys understand God beyond Father. They know God as King, so they can participate with him on matters of kingdom legislation. A man can come and say, "In the next 10 years, Lord, show mercy in Abuja." And suddenly the tides of Abuja will change. And you will wonder, why is it happening? There's a kingdom functionary. The whole kingdom was in darkness. Women were eating their children. They ran to the king. They could do nothing. And they sent to Elijah, the prophet. And he said, "By this time tomorrow." He didn't consult with the laws of economics. He didn't bother about inflation or deflation. A king was talking. You know when God broke Jacob, he said, "As a prince that has power with God and has prevailed." There are people that are princes in heaven, even while they are walking on the earth. He said, "By this time tomorrow." How is it possible that one man can change the economy of a nation? We call it stature in the spirit. Because the man knows God as king. He doesn't only know him as father. Everyone who knows God as father understands how to beg to receive bread and wine. But sons of altar, men who have interacted with the king, when they come to the courts of heaven, they ask questions. "What are you saying about Abuja? What are you saying about Nathaniel? What are you saying about Moses? What are you saying about Makodi?" They can determine the destinies of territory. They can determine the destinies of nation because they know him as king. This is where our life begins to gain value. Your beauty will vanish even in time before you get to eternity. Have you not seen beauty queen? I saw Bianca Ojukwu in the 70s. There was no woman in Nigeria like her. This lady was a goddess, but age has shown her that beauty ends with time. If you want to be truly beautiful, you must interact with the I am that I am until his light shines out of you. That is what the Bible says. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 40. He said, and there are many bodies. There are celestial bodies. There are terrestrial bodies. He said, the sun has its glory. The moon has its glory. The star has its glory. And he said, different star, different in glory. Because they know how to shine by different illumination and different intensities. The Bible said, they that turn many to righteousness, they shall shine like the brightness of the sun. That's where true beauty lies. When a man interacts with God until he can carry his will like a testament and he brings it to his generation, there are certain men that if they come to a place, iniquity dies. Abraham entered Bethel and he began to raise altars. Abraham, he raised altars until he surrounded Bethel with altars. You could not do anything in Bethel that was not consistent with the will of God. Even his son, the man of the flesh, when he was walking through Bethel and he fell on the altar, his carnality was broken because the man had secured the boundaries of Bethel. Nothing that is not of God can walk in Bethel because he understands the intelligence of interacting with the king. You want your life to count. You have to look away from natural things. Mundane things have no value. When a man is fed it beyond time, he will look back and discover the garment of flesh will be off. At that time, it's what he has with God that will shine. His righteousness will shine. His knowledge of God will shine. His obedience will shine. His fear for God will shine. Those are the things that travel with us beyond eternity. But the devil deceives you. He tells you it's about your hair. He tells you it's about your complexion. He tells you it's about your height. He tells you it's about your car. All of those things are mundane. They end in time. But when we cross through the veil of immortality and we stand before the God of Zion, that time the things that shine, they are the things that are walking to us through our obedience to the throne of God. You want to cry? Tell the Lord, here I am, use me. Captain Woman told him, she said, Lord, if I ask nothing, then use me, because I have nothing. Why? She judged that everything that is flesh has no value. That is where Paul entered. He said, we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. I am an orator. I am intelligent. I am a barrister. I know what to do, but I have calculated that flesh has no value. So he called himself the circumcision. We only know how to worship God in the spirit. There's nothing you have in the natural that is an advantage. Only the things that is worked into you through obedience can count in eternity. Hey! Kingdom functionaries must arise. We have too many believers, but few kingdom functionaries. When Jesus sent us out, he didn't send us as believers. He sent us as Matthias, men that can be witness that is eternal in stature. Matthias, too many Christians. Abuja has a population of over 60% Christian, but where is the kingdom? You can't find it in the market, you can't find it in the church, you can't find it in the school. Even here in the camp where you have left your family, we can see kingdom. You know the Father, but you don't know the King. We don't know the church of all. Parate Saparyana Kabizuzas. Sazazadis. Sazazadis. That kingdom functionaries will arise. We say, Saviors, we come up out of Mount Zion to join the mountains of Israel. That the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. Where are the Mordecaias? Where are the Jeremiahs? Where are the Esthers? Where are the Deborahs? Our generation is man. Paul said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken, we also have in the same spirit of faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. Kasa, Shabash, Shadadada, Shabba. The Bible said the heir so long as he's a child differeth nothing from a servant, even though he be Lord of all. But there are some that the Bible said the Spirit of God crieth in their heart, calling Abba, Abba Father. Those ones want to see the will of God find expression. Those are the type that pray, not my way, Lord, but thine. Can you pray tonight and say, Lord, not my will, but thine. I have many plans, I have plans, but Lord, not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. Kalisa Bania Taveska Prada Vanish. Zedeteska Prada Vanilla Kose Palahata. Kamo Sapare Samitaila. Tetelila Batria Vanaskash. Sededana, Sededana, Sededana. Ha! Ambra Safate Kabaria Malida Taiti. Kazizale Variandra Padas. Omesco Presapila. Hey! That many saviors will rise. Men who don't only know justification. Men who understand judgment. Judgment. The reward system of eternity. And on the strength of which they will commit their lives perpetually in the service of the King. Our world is plunging into darkness. Principalities and powers having a few days. But the Deborahs are sleeping. The Mordecai are sleeping. When will the men of stature arise? Kabo Samaita. Feli Kandisha Kaila Mandrina Hasta. Hey! You don't know what God has put in you. There's a treasure. There's a treasure. Your flesh will not let it manifest. There's a treasure. He said we have these treasures in every vessel, that the excellency may be of God. There's a treasure, brother. Fan into flame. This charge I give unto you, son Timothy, that you will fan to flame the grace of God that is upon thee. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Lord, tonight, let it be a time of recruitment. The ones that carry the mark of the hunter. The mark. The ones carrying the mark. Holy Spirit, I ask that you release a fresh grace upon them tonight. Carriers of the mark. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen, we are out of time. There are most of you here that the light of God shines upon you because there's an assignment. What you may not have realized is the peculiarity of that assignment. There are certain things that God has ordained for you to do, and only you can do it in this generation. But it begins with commitment. Commitment.